like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, and now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed, through many dangers, calls, and snares. Katie's wanting to sing.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's Psalms 150. Katie was wanting to sing Special Night, wouldn't you, honey? We'll let you come on. You know, we don't understand, but Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes has perfected praise. And she just wanting to praise the Lord tonight in song, and we'll let her come and do that.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains through the deep valley, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake
thee. Let me start. You ready? Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is a light in Him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. The bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Sing praises.
Gladly I'm walking in sunlight of love, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praise. Jesus is mine.
Amen. Thank you, Katie. Excellent job, Daddy. Amen. Appreciate that. Maybe someone else got a song on your heart. Again, I'd like to say I appreciate Sister Gayla suggesting that we sing that song, In the Shadow of the Cross. Ever since she's requested that, that song has ministered to me in a way I can't even explain it. But I'll be out there at work, and the hymn of that song, or the words of that song, will come to me and minister to me. Like I said, it's good to have the young people with us tonight. Matter of fact, good to have everyone here tonight. Please remember Dwayne and Robin Coomer. When I stopped by there to see them, I seen Austin. I got to see Leah and her mom. I may not have that exactly right. I believe it's Austin's mom. But remember them. I told them we'd be praying for them. And they said they didn't need nothing. They just needed prayer. And I said, okie dokie. But if y'all need anything, I expect you to call me. I left them my number. But remember, Dwayne and Robin Coomer, their house caught on fire. They said the insurance company is trying to settle with them. The Warren on the house messed up somehow. All right, if you'll open up your good old King James Bible tonight to James chapter 2. We'll be taking our text tonight out of James chapter 2. And before I preach, let me just say this, that Paul preached salvation finished. That's in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 28. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But James preached salvation practiced. And it does need to be. And we'll comment more on that here in a minute. But in James chapter 2, we'll start our reading in verse number... I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. James. James chapter 2. I guess I'm going to read a bunch of scripture here, it looks like. I didn't think I was going to start that early. Okay. James chapter 2, verse number 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. They're killing people as I'm speaking right now. The whole world's gone crazy. Beats all I've ever seen. They had a shoot. I'll stop right here just a second. They had a shoot the other day. A car left the Social Security office and was mad because they didn't get approved for Social Security, so they just started shooting people, and four people died. And that's where we're at. The world's gone crazy. But he said, do not kill. Now, if thou committest no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy. Please don't miss what that says. God is ready to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. If you want mercy, meet God on the mercy side. Don't meet Him on the judgment side. On the judgment side, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. On the mercy side, you can bow the knee tonight. On the mercy side, you can confess tonight. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. If you meet God on the judgment side, you'll find out He'll have judgment without mercy. That hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Again, please remember what I said. Paul preached salvation finished. James preached salvation practiced. Right, live by the Word of God. I'll explain more about that in a minute. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I'll stop our reading right there. And I want to preach tonight on faith that can be seen. And please pray with me and for me. Lord, we pray, dear Father, tonight, so thankful, Lord, to have this great number that's come tonight to be in the service. Lord, you know more than anybody in here how much I need you right now. And I do pray, dear Father, you'd give me, Lord, to give to these, and also for my own sake, preach to me and through me. Lord, I pray you'd examine the hearts tonight. Lord, you're greater, and you know all things. And Lord, if we've got an issue or aught, may you help us tonight to leave it here tonight. Lord, I pray you'll be exalted. And Lord, I pray you'll be, worshipped here tonight. Those that worship God must worship God in spirit and truth. And I pray to have liberty to preach about that tonight. And Lord, I do pray, dear Father, tonight, for that one that might be here tonight near as hell. I pray the pains of hell get a hold on them to the point they'd cry out in the service. And Lord, make no hesitation about coming to the altar, but with haste may they come. And Lord, whatever you do, we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Now, I said that Paul preached salvation finished, and it is. It's a finished work. Titus chapter 3, verse 8 says that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And you know, I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. I want the world to see Christ in me. I want to be careful to maintain good works. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I do want to kind of preach on those lines tonight, kind of scattered in my thoughts. Bear with me a little bit tonight. But I want you to know the day and hour we're living in, I've done commented on this in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Also I commented on it in the service this morning. But I'm doing it on purpose again tonight because I want to make sure that people out there in the world and people that are here tonight will understand the situation and how bad it is. But there's a porn star teaching our young children sex education in the schools in San Francisco with live demonstrations in the classroom. The Bible said how great a matter a little leaven leaveneth. Matter of fact, these things ought not be. And let me say we've come a long way from where we used to be back when this nation walked with God. I mentioned also this morning that the Pope is resigning to avoid arrest and seizure of wealth and property on the charges of crimes against humanity from child abuse, Satanism, and the torture and trafficking of little children. We got little children here tonight. And I'll tell you right now, someone had to come through Brother Eddie to touch one of these little ones tonight. I love them, amen. But I want you to know things aren't what they ought to be and not what they used to be.
Amen.
The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 13, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 6 said that they'll be laden with sins, led away with divers lust. That means they're just out of control. You can't trust them. I'm going to use a little liberty here tonight. Y'all may not be able to remember this, but some things I just can't forget. But I remember on a day gone by that Charlton Heston stood up and said, Mr. President, we don't trust you with our guns. We don't trust you with our little teenage daughters. Anybody remember that? When he held that big gun up they gave him. Y'all don't remember that? Man, I am old, ain't I? Does anybody else remember that? Charlton Heston, great godly man to some degree. He's the one who starred in the movie Ten Commandments. I know y'all know him by that. But they presented him a gun from the National Rifle Association. He held that gun up and he addressed the President of the United States of America. And he said, "Mr. President, we don't trust you with our guns, and neither do we trust you with our teenage daughters." And he was speaking about Monica Lewinsky when he said that. I just want you to know that the President is not above the law, and the Pope is not above the law. As a matter of fact, no one is.
Amen.
Amen. But verse 6 of Timothy chapter 3 says, they're laden with sins and led away with divers lust, out of control. They got a problem up here in the mind. They've been visiting the wrong kind of sites. They've been pumping it in. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, "I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes." I'll promise you this, if you set something wicked before your eyes, it'll make an impression on you. You'll close your eyes, it'll still be there. I promise you this, it'll get bigger than you. Matter of fact, the devil demands payment. You start playing around a little bit with things like this. The Bible said, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burnt?" It'll show up a little bit. You'll start smelling a little bit like smoke. Matter of fact, I can't remember who it was. Somebody's telling me something. I don't remember exactly, but I do know this. The Bible said in Numbers 32:23, "Be sure of this, you'll sin, we'll find you out." But it talks about men. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. And he said, "From such turn away." I don't want a form. I don't want y'all to have a form. I'll tell you right now, I may not be no pedigree preacher. I may not be no Joel Osteen or Billy Sunday or Dale Moody. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm real. I'm really saved. I'm really called to preach. I really love you. Just imagine I asked you to drive to Glasgow every Sunday to go to church. Wouldn't be too long. You say, "Brother Eddie, I love you, brother, but I just can't drive every Sunday to go to Glasgow. That's just too big an ordeal." Well, I'll tell you right now, that's why I drive up here, is because I love you. Amen. I love you. Amen. God gave you to me. And while I'm here, I want to preach the truth to you, try to tell you about the Word of God, try to tell you about the will of God, try to tell you about the things of God. That's why I drive up here. Man, it's a blessing. I didn't realize it was going to be such a blessing. At first, I was a little bit concerned about the drive. That was an unforeseen blessing. But I'll tell you right now, we got a bunch, amen, that ain't got nothing but a form of godliness, amen. And they're, for lack of better words, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to keep our children from them. He also said in verse 4, he said those men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Them's the kind of men, you know, you put, by the way, the Bible does say put no confidence in the flesh. You want a good example, just look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The best example I know is Him. Man, I'll tell you what, He done everything right. They accused Him of all kind of things, but I'll tell you what, it wasn't true. People have accused me, and as long as it ain't true, I ain't worried about it neither, amen. But I'll tell you right now, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I don't want a McDonald's in here. I know they've got churches now that's got McDonald's inside the auditorium. I don't want to drive by, hand out a little sermonette. I don't want that. I don't want a fast food message. I want to preach the Word of God as it is indeed the Word of God. I want to preach it precept upon precept, line upon line. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 said, "Because the preacher was wise, he sought and set in order many proverbs to give to the people." I want to pray over and I want to seek God about every message I deliver, because one day I got to stand before God and give an account of what I've said and done. Amen. There ain't no fear of God today. Now let me get on my points. I only got 5 points here. My pastor, it worked out this week where I could meet with him. He's a very busy man. I don't really like to bother him. I know he's busy. I knew he's busy with his wife. I told y'all to pray for Sister Max. She's got thyroid cancer. And I was thinking it was this Thursday she was going to have to go to the doctor. Really, I couldn't meet with Brother Rick on Friday. And I couldn't meet with Brother Rick on Saturday. And the only day I could meet with him was on a Thursday when I got off work Thursday morning. I said, "Brother Rick, Are you busy? And he said, no, what you need? I said, I'd like to meet with you and take you out and buy you breakfast for pastor appreciation. I love you. And he said, all right. I said, well, let me get home, change my clothes, and we'll meet. And we sat over there, and for a brief moment there, we put aside all of the cumbrousness of things that preachers have to do, and we just spent a little time there talking as men of God and talking about the things of God and stuff, and was talking about prayer. And he told me, he said that his mother had to move out of her house. Her father, which was his stepdad, passed away, and he was helping her move out of her house, and she had a thing sitting on her stove, and it was one of them timers. You turn it, you know, and it clicks, and when it gets down, it goes off. And he asked her if he could have it, and she said, you take it. Whatever you want it for, it's yours. You know what he wanted that thing for, Brother Bobby? He had it in his heart that he wanted to pray. This is a devotional type thing. He wanted to devote himself to at least an hour in prayer. And he said, while I'm praying, he said, I don't want to be looking at my watch. I want to be mindful of the praying, not worry about the time. But he said, Brother Eddie, he said, most of the time, about the time I get good and yoked up with the Holy Spirit of God, and I mean, boy, my heart's finally in tune, you know, and I'm really earnestly praying. He said, that thing goes off. He said, I don't think that's going to work. But the Bible said in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1, Jesus said that He would that men always to pray and not to faint. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 13. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, people, when they see you praying, they'll know you got faith. Amen? And I myself, that was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, about pray without ceasing. There's been many times I ain't really got no good place to pray. I'll just fall down somewhere in the house and pray. I remember one time about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was down on my knees praying, and my son walked in on me praying, and I don't stop. I just kept praying. He just kind of eased back out. Hey, never been another time back here in my bedroom. I was down, had the door shut, down there praying. That littlest granddaughter, she opened up that door and her pop down on his knees praying, crying out to God on behalf of somebody that was sick or somebody that was going through sore trials. And she opened up that door and Carolyn, she just kind of eased that door back closed and walked on out. There's been other times I've been in that same bedroom praying. I remember one time my daughter, my oldest one, opened the door. She come in there and knelt down beside her daddy, and Charity, she just wept. I just put my hand over on her shoulder, and we just got to praying together. You know, if you do much praying, sooner or later someone will walk in on you. There's been times that my oldest granddaughter's come in, called her grandpa praying. There's been times my wife come in, and I've been praying. She just turned the light on, act like I ain't even in there. You know, I don't have an explanation for that. I really don't. But if you got a prayer life, if you do, it's faith that can be seen. When you sit down in a restaurant, you bow your head and say, Lord, thank you for health. Thank you for this food. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to eat and have the health to receive it. You know what? Somebody will see that. Molly, that's faith that can be seen. You know, there have been a few times, boy, I bowed my head in a restaurant and God sent a rose my way and somebody come over and said, I got a blessing. Just watching you bow your head and thanking the Lord for what's before you there. And tell you what, buddy, faith needs to be seen. We're living in a faithless generation. We're living in a worldly, carnal world. And I'll tell you what, buddy, it's without God and without hope today. But it's good to have somebody walk in while you're down praying. Amen. That's faith that can be seen. Let me say also, reading your Bible is a way that faith can be seen. My wife had to have surgery one time up in Bowling Green. This ain't hard preaching. This is more like pastoral type message. But I was down in Bowling Green down there one time. My wife had to have surgery. And man, I knew I was going to be there a pretty good while, Peyton, so I just brought my Bible. Man, you thought I brought a gun. I don't know. They got my wife back there and got her ready. And I'm out there in the waiting room and I just opened up my Bible, and I'm just sitting there reading my Bible. I ain't even looking up. And people got to grunting, gagging, clearing their throat. And man, they got moving away from me like I had AIDS or something. And about that time, some woman said, "Well, I never." And some other guy back in the back said, "If I wanted to go to church, I'd have went." And they just got all big and mad. And I'm sitting there thinking, all I'm doing is reading my Bible. But you know what? It was faith that could be seen. We need more homes that's got faith that can be seen.
Amen.
Ain't nothing no prettier picture, Brother Billy, and see a little girl down there with her hands like this right here saying, "Bless Mama, bless Daddy, bless Sissy, bless Grandpa, Grandma, Aunt, Uncle." Boy, ain't no prettier picture. See a little boy, a little girl, bowed down their head there, you know. Man, I'll tell you what, buddy, that's faith that can be seen, and we need to start seeing some of them heavenly glimpses, things like that right there. But I'll tell you, I worked at that hard, darling, it wasn't, I don't know about y'all, I hear people all the time, why would God have a Christian working environment like this? I mean, it's just profanity, weren't right all the time. Man, I'm kind of like old Lot, vexed his righteous soul from their filthy conversation. Neither was he partake of their evil deeds. And I have these people come up to me and say, "Why in the world, God, have us work in a place like this?" I say, "Where do you think you need to work? They need the light, amen. This is darkness. You need the light in a place like this."
Right.
Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." This ain't heaven. Levi, this ain't heaven. As a matter of fact, it's a far cry from heaven. I wish man hadn't have messed it up. It could be a heaven on earth, but we've made a mess of it, buddy. God's going to come down here and clean the mess up one day. But I'll tell you what, buddy, I took that Bible with me to work. I took it in there in the break room, opened it up, and they gave me the whole break room. They got up and went out. Imagine that. Man, I'm telling you what, there's something about that word. It still offends people. Try taking one to school with you. Take it in there on recess. Open it up. Just open it up. That's all you got to do. Just get it out, lay it on the table, and open it up. And you'll see people, they'll leave. Anytime you want, what do you call it? Anytime you want privacy, or anytime you want to scare the crowd, just open your Bible up. You'll find out. They'll gladly leave. Man, they don't want to be around that. The Bible said the entrance of His Word gives light. That Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's got some power to it. It's got some weight to it. They know what it is. You go on and open up Reader's Digest, it won't bother them a bit, but go on and open up the Word of God. Yes. Amen. Yes. You young girls, we got one young boy, he done out. You take that little New Testament with you and just kind of slide it in your purse or your pocket. You get to school there, just open it up and see what happens. You know what happened to me, Molly? I opened up that Bible out there at Donnelly's in the break room. It wasn't too long, there's another Bible plopped on there. It wasn't too long, but it was having Bible study in the break room. Somebody finally got over that. You know how you get that? Can't breathe, you know. And they hear, they say, "Well, he's in there reading his Bible. Surely it'd be all right me going and read mine." It wasn't too long. We took the break room over. We had one break room. It's called the godly break room. We had another one called the ungodly. I'd go down there every now and then, Brother Bobby. I'd just go down on purpose. Just sit right in there and they'd say, and they'd go outside. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. I figured y'all would shout and jump the pews tonight. But I'll tell you what, buddy, that Bible's got some weight to it. That's one way that your faith can be seen. I'll tell you right now, buddy, you get that old Bible out. For one thing, you're doing a good thing when you get it out. But I'll tell you what, you get it out, you'll find out it still offends people, amen. And I got saved out there at Donnelly's. Word spread pretty quick. And people come out of the woodwork. I mean, they had never witnessed to me before. They had never said any verses or set any kind of example for me. They talked like I talked, did what I did, told the jokes I told. But when I got saved, they come up and said, "Well, I heard some good news on you." I said, "Is that right?" They said, "Yeah, I heard you got saved." I said, "That's right." And they tried to sell me a bill of goods. It didn't line up. I tell you, now don't swallow everything comes your way. The Bible said, try them spirits, see whether they're God or not. This guy, he's a Mormon. He's trying to convince me that he had the right way and I was in the wrong way. The only problem was, he didn't get to me before Jesus did, amen. Hallelujah, I was done in. I mean, but I done got in, glory to God. And now if he had got to me before Jesus did, I might have been a prey. And I'll tell you what, buddy, they come out of the woodwork and they wasn't all telling the truth. And I'm glad we got the Holy Spirit. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the Holy Spirit bears witness with truth. That's how you can tell something's of God or not. And I'm glad if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I'd have probably done something stupid. And I did make a few mistakes, I've told them before. But I'll tell you, praise God, I'm glad the Lord was with me and He helped me. But to come out and try to sell me their religion, and at this point in time, there's a bunch of undercover Christians, I had never seen any evidence of anything of them being a child of God. But here they come. Man, I'm telling you, Bible in hand. I'm a babe in Christ. And they're sitting there construing the Word of God. And you know one thing about the Word of God, Molly, it does fitly join together.
Amen.
It fits just like a puzzle. Every piece fits. But they's trying to put this one piece in there where it didn't go. I said, hey, right? And he's telling me, he's using that verse out of Matthew chapter 24. He said, it says right here, you got to endure to him to be saved. I said, buddy, I'm already saved. I ain't enduring, I'm already saved. I mean, by grace, you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he's trying to tell me. He says, right here, you got to endure to be to the end to be saved. And that is true. But let me clear it up. That's true in the tribulation. It's not true in the church age. I'm telling you right now, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved right now.
Amen.
But in the tribulation, oh me, it will have to be endured to the end to be saved. You'll have to live not your life unto death. You'll have to keep the Ten Commandments, have the testimony of Jesus. They'll take your head off right there and you'll find out, but it won't be grace. But here they come, boy, trying to sell me a bunch of goods. Praying is a way of showing faith. Reading your Bible is a way of showing faith. Soul winning is a way of showing faith. I went out this afternoon. I was surprised how many houses I was able to visit in the time that I had. I praise the Lord. I mean, I have to admit, I hung four door knockers. And I called about probably five people home, maybe more. I wasn't counting. I wasn't trying to get a badge or nothing. But I'll tell you what, I was surprised at how many I was able to go and visit. I praise the Lord for that. But the Bible says about soul winning. They're not all winning souls, amen. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, it says, "Lo, and you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourselves." Jesus told that Samaritan woman, Carolyn, he said, "You worship you know not what." Boy, there's a lot of people worship they know not what. Amen. There's a lot of people, they don't know what they're worshiping. They get all caught up, you know, they're getting it, take off running, you know, whoa, may not be of God. I've been in some of them. But he told her, Bobby, he said, "You worship you know not what." Paul told a bunch there in Acts chapter 17, he said, "You've made an altar over to the unknown God." He said, "Him, declare I unto you," wasn't unknown to Paul. He knew who it was, Margaret. Amen. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people worship, they know not what. As a matter of fact, a lot of people worship the devil and don't even know it. Sure enough, Church of Corinth done some of that. He said, well, I didn't fold my thing at all the way. No or not, but where's that scripture at? The Bible says that the Gentiles worship devils and not God. And Paul said, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. I just gave y'all half of the message. I didn't realize I had another page over here. Oh, me. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. He said, the Gentiles worship devils and not God. He said, I would not, brethren, that you have fellowship with devils. Jesus said, John 4, 22, he said, we know what we worship. Amen. It's good to know what you worship.
Amen.
It's good to know who you worship. Amen. Let me back up here a little bit. I'm sorry about this. I didn't realize I had a double page here. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus said, take heed. That's pretty important. Two words, take heed. Pay attention. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name. Can you imagine that, a deceiver coming in Jesus' name going on right now?
Amen.
Saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. Jesus said, take heed. Verse 11, he said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. It's going on right now. verses 23 and 24. He said, then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ. Or there, he said, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I mentioned about the Pope, and a lot of people's caught up in that. Let me just say this, and I'm saying it by way of the internet. I don't think we've got any of it here tonight, but let me just say this. If you want to know anything about the Catholic Church, if they've not destroyed them all, if you can still get a copy, get the book Fox's Book of Martyrs. Get the book Martyrs Mirrors. Know what you're getting into. I don't hate the Catholics. I love them. I love them with the love of God. I don't love the things they worship. I don't love the things they do because Christ is not a wafer. And I'm not putting them down. I'm just preaching. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not interested in people going to hell. I'm not interested in people being deceived. Just do a little background check on them. That ain't that hard. Get the book Fox's Book of Martyrs, or get the book Martyrs Mirrors, and find out the truth about the so-called Mother Church. Let me get back to soul winning. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. It takes a little wisdom. I don't just knock on the house. How you doing? You saved? What are you waiting on? Why don't you get saved? Lord loves you. Why don't you save you? I go in there and I say, how you doing? And say, who are you? I say, my name's Brother Eddie. I just wanted to come by and tell you about Jesus. He loves you. And I kind of get a thermostat reading right there, and they either say, you know, I'm too into sin to hear that, leave. And I respect them. Me and Mevin run into a man like that. He's sitting on the tailgate of his truck, Levi. Well, he's sitting there drinking. He done hid that beer long enough, and I guess he got thirsty. He said, you boys, get out of here! And we did. I run down the fence, and Mevin run over it, I think. Margaret sitting in the car, laughed at both of us. But we wore a welcome out. Everybody don't want to hear. You're not going to have 100%, but every now and then you'll run up on one that's right, ready to pick. That's what makes it worth it. Just give me one of them every now and then. I'll tell you what, little Kaylee come up here. Man, her tear stain's still somewhere right along in here. Little Kaylee, I said, honey, what you need? She looked up at me. She said, Brother Eddie, I'm praying to get saved. I said, you go right ahead, honey. You go right ahead and pray. Man, I'll tell you what, more God right there than anything I've seen in a long time. She looked up at me. She said, Brother Eddie, I'm praying to get saved. Woo! Hallelujah. Like to see a repeat of that over and over. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25, it says a true witness delivers souls. That's not the Jehovah Witnesses. I'll just be clear and plain tonight. You can make twofold more children of hell, or you can make children of God. You need to make sure you know what you worship. You need to make sure you know who you worship. Amen. But soul winning's a way faith can be seen. I wore a bunch of shoe leather out, going down streets, going in, well, I want to call them hell holes, but I went in some places. I was a little bit afraid, and I ain't afraid of much, but I was a little bit concerned. I thought, well, this is a good way to go. I've been up on the streets of Columbus, Ohio, like Paul said, amongst false brethren, in the fear of, you know, that situation, it'll get the best of it if you ain't careful. I've been in maximum security prisons. I've been in minimum security prisons. I've been in Barron County Jail and Correctional Center. I've been everywhere trying to reach people with the good news that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. But soul winning's a good way to show your faith. You give me a man that prays. Give me a man that reads his Bible. A man that's concerned about souls. That man will bear some fruit. Amen. But also tithing is a good way to show your faith. It really is. Someone once said, you can tell how much someone loves God by how much they give. I've heard it like this. If God gets you billfold, He's got all of you. But I'll tell you what, there's just something about us. Man, one time I reckon I'm just gonna pretend that you're a mortuary and I've just died. You gotta get that out of my hand somehow with a crowbar or a hacksaw. You gotta pry that thing out. But somehow or another, Brother Bobby, get that thing out. He'll open them hands and put it on my chest and it'll be over. But it's just something about our hands. I don't know. I've seen it start early. We got a little Dawson, a little Peyton. If I had a toy in here tonight, he'd say, I want it. She'd say, I want it. And they'd be at each other's throat. And I mean, they'd be trying to frail one another. That's the way we are. It's our nature. Matter of fact, if I'd read a little bit more in the book of James there, he said, you won't. He said, you lust to have. I'm in chapter 4. He said, even of the lust that war in your members, you lust and have not. You desire to have and cannot obtain. Yet have not because you ask not. The reason you have not is because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lust. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. That's us in a nutshell there. But tithing. Somebody said, Brother, that's Old Testament. Well, let's get an update. Get your Bible out. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings. Well, come, there's your New Testament. Tithing. But also, Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, here's a widow. Everybody's coming up there with their buckets and pouring them in. And there's a widow comes up there, and we've got spring with us here tonight. I know all y'all done seen it, but she ain't. Spring, here's what two mites look like. Them's actually two widow mites. Just two little old pieces about the size of your fingernail. Them's actually two widow mites. Jesus saw a woman put those in there and he made note of it. He said, that poor widow woman's put in more than y'all, for she put in all she had. But them two little bitty fingernail pieces of metal, they ain't even a coin. Ain't enough metal there to make a coin. She put them in there. She put them in the offering. Amen, Brother Melvin. But tithing is a way to show your faith. Now the last one, this is my favorite. Attending church. It's a good way to show your faith. Matter of fact, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, somebody said it don't say nowhere in the Bible about going to church. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching, that day is approaching. That means we need to be in church more so now than ever. Right. Let me tell you another tale. There was an old drunk living in a house, and a man kept walking by every Sunday morning, Carolyn. Let me see if I can do this right. There was a man come walking by his house every Sunday morning with Bible in hand, heading to the house of God. That old drunk looked out of that window and he see this man going to church with Bible in hand. He's sitting there like me, I guess I used to be, with a beer in my hand. He's sitting there thinking, man, that guy's doing what I need to do. And one day that old drunk, he put that bottle aside. He went to the house of God and got saved, Billy. When he got saved, he turned around and here was his testimony. He said, that man right back there, he said, every Sunday morning, I looked out my window and there that man come with that Bible walking to church. He said, I gave him conviction and I said, he's doing what I need to do. Come to find out that man couldn't hear, he couldn't talk. He's deaf and dumb. They got somebody up there who could talk with their hands. And they said, this man got saved because you went to church and the tears started running down. And he said, hallelujah. It don't take a lot to win somebody. But I tell you what, there's people that's looking. We're gazing stuff through the world. We need to set a good example that we got faith. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, oh man. Here's a man that was at a loss physically, but he made an impact on this drunk right here. My pastor told this tale. I probably can't tell as good as him. But there's at a meeting, a big meeting. Big name evangelist was there, and he's proud as a peacock. Most of them are. I've met him. But there's up there, you know, kind of puffing up a little bit, and about that time this man walked in the back and the pastor said, that man back there said, He's deaf and dumb. And that man sat back on the back row. You know what that evangelist said? He said, Lord, please don't save him. I don't know what to do if he comes up here. And that's just a carnal thought. I mean, I have to admit, what would you think if had a man at church deaf and dumb? He got up there and preached that night gala, and sure enough, that man stepped out. Might have been deaf and dumb, but he had enough sense to get out of hell.
Amen.
He stepped out, walked down through there. Man, couldn't nobody communicate with him. Here he is, he's bawling, squalling, crying. What do they do? I mean, they're completely helpless. And finally, somebody come up there could talk with the hands. And they told that man, they said, Jesus died on the cross for you. He loves you. He wants you to come live with him. That man, he fell down there and he made utterance, I guess, that nobody but God could understand and got saved. After this service, after that was all over with, they was going to go get him a big steak, Brother Bobby. As they was going, the traffic was all backed up. They thought, what in the world, has been a bad wreck? And he was kind of mad, Eli, because he couldn't get to where they was going. When he finally got up there, here's this old boy, this deaf and dumb guy. He'd made a cross out of sticks. And he'd go, oh, oh, oh. And there was people out there saying, that man just led me to Jesus. And that's all he could do was grunt, point that cross. He took two sticks, tied them together, and he said, ah, 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 ah. People was pulling over and getting out of the car, getting saved. Yeah. It don't take a whole lot if you just got faith. Man, we think we got to have, you know, some big evangelist that I won't come unless you put up $1,000, some great singing group. Listen, that's all good. I wish we could afford all that. I'll tell you what, just give me somebody here who loves the Lord. Just bring me somebody here who wants to know about Jesus. I like that song, Tell Me One More Time About Jesus. All about His mercy and grace. I like to hear about Jesus, amen. I like somebody to get up there and tell me about Jesus. Tell me about His great love, His great mercy, His compassion that fail not. I like to hear about Him, amen. I like to hear people sing about Him, amen. I like to hear preach about Him, amen. I don't care if it's an old country preacher, if they preach about Jesus, amen. I'll amen the forehead in it. But I'll tell you what's missing today. It's faith. We go through the motions. The Lord said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Romans 10:17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. They're attacking that Bible, Brother Bobby. They're trying to take your Bible away. Hide it in your heart.
That's right.
Hide it in your heart, Molly. Every time I see Molly, I come over early. She's got that Bible out. She's reading that thing. And others of you do too. Well, I'll tell you right now, they're coming after it. You better believe it. They're going to disarm you first. Then they're going to usurp authority. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He said at the sound of the music, everybody bowed. Carolyn, everybody but three little boys bowed. Probably be about the same odds. Sharon, they're gonna say you bow when you hear this music. If you don't bow, it's gonna be one of them or else's. They're gonna try to use that strong arm. It's saying, buddy, when you let that faith really shine. It's saying you say, I ain't bowing, I ain't bending, you throw me in that furnace and I ain't burning. I'll tell you right now, they said we know our God's able, but whether he does or whether he don't, we ain't bowing.
Amen.
Man, that's faith, amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, just get it straight, Nebuchadnezzar. You made a nice image. You have it. We don't want it. We're going to worship the living God. We're not going to worship some dumb idol. And boy, he got all big and mad. He said, bind them boys and throw them in there. Make that furnace 7 times hotter. And lay it, kill the men and throw them in there. But Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went down that fire and was walking around. You know why they was walking around, honey? They was about to freeze to death down there in that fire. Amen. They was trying to stay warm. Amen. Let me tell you something. Show your faith. Don't be ashamed to show your faith. I know we got bullies down here. I know that. But let me tell you something. I know someone bigger than any bully. Our kids, I know y'all get bullied at school. Listen, when you do, just go tell Jesus. Say, Jesus, there's somebody picking on me, and I need some help. See if he don't take care of it. Next time you see him, they have a black eye, a tooth missing, something like that. Say, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. And you just back your mind. You say, I know what happened. You better leave me alone. Won't be too long. They'll be scared of you. They'll be afraid to mess with you, because I'll tell you right now, the Lord, He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay you. I'm telling you right now, buddy, our God, He's not just the God of love and peace and mercy. He's the God of war and judgment. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Faith that can be seen. Not much of that going on today. You got all kind of faith, but it's the wrong kind of faith. Faith in Him will make a difference. If you'll put your faith in Jesus, He'll save you. If you'll put your faith in Jesus, He'll get you through. I sat there last year and said, Lord, how in the world did we make it through that year? Faith. This may be a secret, may not. But I'll write my tithes. You got faith, Brother Eddie, you better believe it. I'll write these checks. They don't always fly. There's been a few of them Margaret brought back. She said, Brother Eddie, that didn't go. Well, I'll tell you right now, I wrote it in faith, but the bank don't have the kind of faith I got. And sorry thing, most of the time I put money in there, and I get my deposit out, and he say, yeah, we made a mistake, or we'll take care of that, but the sorry thing didn't take care of it before they sent the check back. I'm glad to give you these things, because it's got a date on here, and it says, hey, I put $2,000 in here, on this date right here, and they ought to have the money to show it. Well, anyway, I write those checks in faith. Somebody said, you got faith, Brother Eddie? I said, boy, I got faith. Oh, yeah. Man, oh man. But I have found out that God honors faith. There's been a few times, buddy, I've wrote checks and I knew there wasn't enough money in there. But somehow or another, at the last minute, buddy, something happened, a phone call. Hey, guess what? You got money. I said, hallelujah. Glory! Amen. Yeah, I got faith. I got faith to scare y'all dead. I got faith. I'll tell you what, buddy. You think I got gray hair? I got faith to make a Kojak out of you, boy. I got faith to believe my wife one day to get turned around, Brother Bobby. And I'm going to bring her up here and I'm going to say, this is my wife. The Lord finally got us through this thing. See, this ain't no cakewalk. I can't explain my wife. I can't. It don't make no sense. I have no explanation. But I know one thing, it's something to do with the devil. But if I didn't have faith, I'd just tore this thing up. Throwed it. But you know what? I got great faith. If you got faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, Jesus said, you say this mountain be thou removed. That just shows you how little faith you got. And it'll be cast into the sea. You got faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, Jesus said, you say that sycamore tree be plucked up. I've seen a few of them plucked up, but it wasn't by me. It was by a hurricane or some drunk lost control in the car or something, you know. The Lord said if we had faith, we could move those things. That's why I say, this day and hour we're living in, we need faith. We need faith that can be seen. These neighbors out here, you know what they do? That's right. Yeah. They watch you. And by watching you, they see your faith. And by seeing your faith, they know they need faith. Sue told me tonight, she said she wished she could come. She said, just as soon as I'm able, I'm coming. She's going to bring her son, her daughter with her, Nikki. And I'm looking forward to that. But I'll tell you what to get it moving. Faith. If you're lacking faith tonight, won't you come up there and tell the Lord, say, Lord, help my faith. You remember that one man, he had that boy, had a devil. And the Lord was getting ready to cast that devil out. And he looked at that father and he said, you believe I can cast him out? That father said, yea, Lord, but help my unbelief. If you're having problems tonight with faith, come up here and ask the Lord to help your unbelief. If you're here tonight and you're lost, the faith you need is the faith to believe in the Lord, to believe on the Lord Jesus and get saved. Father, we thank you for the message tonight, more of a pastoral message than anything. But I pray, dear Father, tonight it's helped your children, helped your people. Lord, today and I we're living in, Lord, I know that the faith of the saints is being tried and wearing them out. I know the devil's sifting people like wheat, trying to overthrow their faith. And there's some in here, Lord, that are true pillars of God, that even They encourage me and strengthen me. And I thank you for those that you put in this church that are unwavering, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But I don't know every heart here tonight. Maybe there's one here tonight. Brother Eddie, I need some faith. I pray, Lord, they'll come tonight. And I pray your honor, Lord, the fact that they have come, and give them, Lord, the faith to stand in the face of death and to realize it has no threat to offer. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Let me ask everybody to stand, please.
Page 164.
If you're here tonight, Brother Eddie, I just don't know where I'd be if I died tonight. Let me tell you what to do with that. Just come right now. Come right now and say, Lord, I want to know where I'm going to spend eternity. I want to know if I close my eyes tonight, where I'll be if I die during the night. As a little boy, I remember, Peyton, I remember being afraid to close my eyes. Because I thought if I died, would I wake up in heaven or hell? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Because you know what? Now I can close my eyes and know. If no man can happen, I'll just wake up in heaven. I'll just be waiting for you to come get there with me. Amen. But if you're here tonight, you don't have that assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. If you're lacking in that, won't you come tonight? Say, Jesus, I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want to know that it's well with my soul. You come, I'll tell you what, I'll pray with you. You come, we'll get it fixed. The psalmist said, my heart's fixed. My heart's fixed. Get it fixed up tonight. Ain't nothing going to change till you come. You're going to take a chance, leave out here tonight, die in your sins, wake up in hell, spend eternity down there. In the blood of the Lamb, fountain flowing for the soul, unclean for me, washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can be. It's the only thing I know, Molly. So clean, clean blood of the Lamb. All your garments spotless, barley white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? How many more verses you got there, Brother Melvin?
Last one.
All right, we'll just stop right there. I was going to ask or show of hands tonight, but I don't need to do that.
Oh,
there's one more. Okay, let me ask you a second here. Every head bowed just a second. Some of you I don't know. Some of you I do. There's somebody here tonight, every head bowed, nobody looking but me. There's somebody here tonight, Brother Eddie, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I want you to remember me in prayer. I'm raising my hand just so I won't end up in hell. I want God to see my hand, and I want prayer. Is there anybody here tonight? Raise your hand, Brother Eddie. I've never been saved. I need prayer. I don't see no hands. I'm looking. All right. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Maybe somebody's got a testimony on your heart tonight. You know, raising your hand won't save you, but I'll tell you what it might do. It might buy you a little time. Because the devil's trying to kill you. He's trying to rob you of a home in heaven. If he has his way, he will. Is there anybody got a testimony tonight? Anything on your heart? I praise the Lord for these young people tonight. I don't mind it a bit. It was a handful. Go pick them up. What a blessing it is to have them here tonight. Good to have Spring with us here tonight. Appreciate her coming. Man, oh man.
I want to thank the Lord for the message tonight. I want to thank the Lord for what He means to me. I know I can firmly stand here tonight.
Amen.
And
amen.
He died on Calvary. Thank you.
Amen.
And every stripe
was on His back. Bless your heart, girl. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Good as gold. Amen.
Appreciate the message. Appreciate what
it felt
here tonight.
Bless you, Brother Melvin. God bless you, brother. Like I said, that's more of a pastoral message.
It's good.
Amen. Yeah. Wasn't a whole lot of screaming and yelling like I did this morning. But just precept upon precept. Just left part of it out. Leave it to me to mess that up. But anyway.
Good crowd here.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, we had to go over and twist Dawson's arm, but we got him here. Amen.
He took a nap.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else not got a word?
I thank God for the blood tonight.
Heaven.
I thank you for dying on the cross for me.
Bless you, Molly.
If I exit out tonight, I know where I'll
be. Give me by the hand, please take me with you. Just give me by, if there's any hair on my head, get it and say, come on, brother, what's going on?
I know that's the only way that you can get it.
Amen. That's right.
And without that blood, you're not going.
The Bible calls it a new and a living way.
Yes.
That's why that veil of that temple was rent twain from the top to the bottom. He made that entrance to heaven by the offering he offered at Calvary. New and living way. Levi, bless his heart, he jumped in a mud puddle to get here. He got mud all over the back of his shirt and pants and everything else. He said, I want to go. I said, well, come on, be careful. And he hit the mud all wide open.
He looked good to me.
And then here comes little Lane. She come right behind him. We're about through the same mud hole. But we're glad to have him.
Sweet.
Yeah, they are. Are we done tonight? Well, I just want to say I love you. And I need your prayers. Pray for me. And I'll be... Amen. It looks like he's got so much bubble gum in his mouth, he may not be able to praise the Lord. Amen. All righty.
Well, I want to thank God for saving me.
Bless you, Brother Billy.
I went through some trials for the last week. And I mean, we sing two
hymns. Yeah.
And if I hear he is lost.
Bless you, Brother Billy.
They don't know what. They're going through.
That's right. That's true. Death is really a sad time if we're lost. But death to a child of God, the Bible says better is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth if we're saved. It really is. Matter of fact, the Bible said precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints because He knows they're coming to heaven never to die no more. He knows they'll never have to worry about being sick or having a go through the motions of death like we do. Amen. Are we done tonight?
Oh, but that, moving pretty fast there. You know, we missed his party up there. You know, he drank that beer and his buddy done went and brother. He'd seen us coming to get. He had a bomb down, you know.
Yeah.
He tried to hide the beer for a while. Started to get the stone. He just...
Yeah. You boys get on out of here. Leave me alone with him. Yeah, we took flight. He was ahead of me. Mark is over there laughing. I told him to start the car up, get it running. Amen.
Pray for him.
Yeah.
Trying to think of his name.
I wouldn't bother me a bit. Go down and talk to him again. I wouldn't mind it, but the Bible says not to cast your pearls.
Grease Morgan.
Pray for him. Well, it'd be good if him come staggering in back here saying, I just want y'all to know I'm still interested. It'd be good. But I do care about him. I do pray for him. I don't even know his name. I just say, Lord, that man we talked to that day, he needs to be saved. You better believe it, buddy. Yeah, he went to the house. I thought Buckshot was on the way. Hey, man.
I'm ready to
tell you. I didn't want to be a target practice, go back and forth, boom, boom, boom. Anyway, if we're done tonight, I love you tonight. Let's all stand. Brother Bobby, would you please dismiss us for the prayer?
Services are very good, Lord. Thank you.